Hi everyone, today we'll be reading John chapter 4, verse 1 through 26. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when these mountains worship. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks to worship truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Now, this is one of the elderly in the church that Jesus has in this Gospel of John. And so it's pretty likely if you've been in the church for a while that you've heard messages on this before. And I'm not likely to say anything new, but I think still it's important to recognize and appreciate a few things. First is that Jesus here is a Jewish man sitting down and talking to a Samaritan woman. This is a really big deal. And that's why in verse 9, this woman is like, "How is it that you're talking to me?" And it says in parentheses, this is what John is telling us, the author, "For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." What Jesus is doing here is breaking down at least a couple boundaries. Jewish men typically would not talk to a woman like this. That's just not something they would do. But second, and of really great significance, is that Jews hated Samaritans and vice versa. There's this huge wall. This is like walls of Jericho kind of walls. Jesus is breaking through that wall as well. He's breaking through gender walls and this huge cultural discriminatory kind of wall here. But then again, if you actually zoom out and look at the context, we're here in Samaria. And Jesus didn't see from Italy. Jewish people would just go around. They would take the long way to get there. But Jesus had to go through Samaria. And why is that? Jesus wanted to talk to this woman. And so this conversation happens. Jesus asks this woman for a drink. And the woman is, again, she's astonished. Like, how are you talking to me or asking me? And then Jesus replies. And he's back to those. He replies in a kind of a mysterious way, as he does often in his gospel. He's like, he's like, what in the world is this guy saying? And so she's basically like, dude, you don't even have a bucket to get water. And what is this living water? Now, I feel like she knows something spiritual is happening here because she brings up Jacob and how he meets El. But then Jesus replies again, and he explains what this living water is. He says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, as in the water of the well right there. But whoever drinks the water that I give will never be thirsty again. It's a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Now, this woman is, again, still confused. She's not sure what he's talking about. But she asked for the water. And that sounds about right, right? If there's something you could drink and never feel or be physically thirsty ever again, that's worth drinking. But then Jesus, all of a sudden here, he gets really personal. He says, go call your husband and come back here. And then she replies that she doesn't have a husband. And then Jesus cuts right to the heart here. And he says, oh, I know you don't have a husband, but you've had five husbands and you're living with someone now who's not your husband. That's really personal. And Jesus is saying, and writing it this way, at least, is that this woman sense is thirsty for coming for satisfy. That she's five and his unmanned, the brain of her. Christ came out, I don't know. So I was like, we'll say, where do you see that in the Bible? she kind of going that she's trying to deflect and talk about like theological things. And what she talks about is the difference between Jesus and go. Jews about this art with other issues. Jesus, he acts as a deep he was trying to get to. He tells her that the time is coming when true worshipers, people who really, truly want to worship God, they will worship in spirit and truth. And it will happen everywhere. It doesn't have to be in Jerusalem, whatever other mountain. It can happen anywhere because of Christ, because there's this living water that is given. Jesus is like tying this whole thing. To her life. He's bringing, like giving her something that she could never, ever find. Now, again, some of you may have heard about this before in other messages, but this woman's situation and her life is really rough. She's coming to get water, and we're told that it's at the sixth hour, meaning that around time, it's hot. They're in the Middle East around noontime. That's not a time you want to be going for a walk. But she's going because she knows no one else. It's because of him. She won't look for in that kind of culture, they would all know. They knew, they would have known about her five husbands and her current partner. And again, think about that. Five former husbands. And before we think of her as some kind of like harlot or whatever, think about the gender norms of that time in that kind of culture. It's very unlikely that she was like serial dating or marrying, right? Or that she was just like, you know, this really flirty person or something like that. Most likely what happened was she had been rejected by five different husbands in some way. Think about it like that. That is really sad, isn't it? This woman is trying to find like peace. She's trying to find like rest for her soul. She's trying to find contentment. She can't. It's not coming, especially from any of these men that have been in her life. She is in this moment when Jesus talks to her. She's physically thirsty, like she needs water, like actual H2O water. That's why she's there. But the reality of her life is that her life has left her thirsting and desiring for satisfaction, for something good. And as I was thinking about this, I'm just reminded of this fairly old worship song where the verse says, Jesus, I am thirsty. Won't you come and fill me? Earthly things have left me dry. Only you can satisfy. All I want is more. This is what Jesus came to do. This is why Jesus came to talk to her. He came to tell her that he wanted to give her living water, that she would never thirst or be desiring or be like in want of anything again, because she could just come to Jesus and worship in spirit and truth. No shame, no burdens, no worrying about what people think about her. She can just come and worship freely. And that's the message for us as well. Maybe for us, earthly things have left us dry. Maybe like we've been pursuing after many different things. But Jesus here is telling us there's living water. And it quenches our souls. And that we'll never be in want again if we cling to him. There will be this springs of living water within our hearts if we cling to him. Let's pray. Let's pray that we can drink of this living water for ourselves. Jesus, we thank you for this hope and this love that you give us. And I think all of us in some ways realize, like, deep within our souls and hearts, that earthly things have left us dry. We're not that different from the Samaritan woman. And Lord, we pray that as we're in relationship with you, that we will seek this living water, that we'll not feel the sense of shame or burdens or worry about what people think of us, but instead that we will bring our whole hearts to you, knowing that you can satisfy, that you will satisfy, and that you are good to us. Bless us, God. We thank you for such hope and such goodness that you have for us, Jesus. You are so good. In your name we pray.